What is our common goal and purpose here? It's to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's to make Jesus famous. That's our goal. Hallelujah. We want to exalt him, don't we? Hallelujah. We don't want to exalt ourselves. Amen. Let God do that. You exalt him, he can exalt you. Amen. You can let somebody else praise you. Amen. But don't be praising yourself. Thursday night, we were at discipleship. We were talking a little bit about the Pharisees. And I heard somebody use this term, unintentional Pharisee. The first time I'd heard that, it was fairly recently. And I thought, you know what? I think sometimes we can be an unintentional Pharisee. Not that we want to be a Pharisee, but, you know, sometimes we don't even realize sometimes what we're caught up in. And basically, the Pharisees were narcissistic, weren't they? They thought within themselves that they were righteous. And they would compare themselves to others. And they sought titles, you know. They wanted to be greeted in the marketplace and be called rabbi, rabbi. And, you know, they loved the chief seat in the synagogues. They wanted to be up on the platform where everybody saw them. And, you know, and sometimes if we're not careful, the enemy is good at throwing us curveballs, you know. And he tries to get us to focus on self rather than Christ. Amen. Because he knows if we're self-centered or self-focused, he can work, amen, in that part of us, that selfish part of us. So we want to take our eyes off self and put them on Jesus, amen? And simply understand that we are servants. We are vessels, amen? And he who will be greatest among you must become the servant of all. So in Christ, we are taught servant leadership, okay? Not as the Gentiles, he said, they lord over their people. They call them benefactors. You know, they give them these titles of greatness. But he says, but in my kingdom, it's going to be different than what you've experienced in the world. It's quite opposite of that. Actually, the one who is serving is going to be the greatest. And Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Didn't he come to do that? When he girded himself and he washed his disciples' feet, he says, I've given you an example that you should do likewise. Amen. Take care of each other, in other words. Minister to one another. Amen. Hallelujah. I find that if I occupy myself with what God wants me to do, I'm not sitting, amen, and swatting fleas in the kennel. You know, when I'm on the hunt, when I'm on the mission, when I'm mission focused, amen, I'm not sitting there just, right? But when a dog gets on a hunt, you ever been out in the woods with your dog and he saw something? And all of a sudden it's like he's no mountain shouting, that dog is on his way. Oh, yeah. And my little Cookie's that way sometimes, you know. She'll see a squirrel or a bird. And, man, it's all over, you know. She's like, loses her mind. Ah. So, all right, pray for her, okay? She's also a work in progress. So, and pray for the owners, too. Yeah. Title of the message today is Moving in the Faith of God. Moving in the faith of God. You know, a lot of times we can get a focus on ourselves when it comes to our spirituality or Christianity, and we can measure ourselves by ourselves. We measure ourselves by ourselves on how well I'm doing, or how faithful I am, or how faithful I've been. But we need to remember it's not because we are faithful, but because God is faithful, amen, that he even had patience with us. That he even had mercy on us and grace to allow us, amen, to even to come to him. It wasn't because we were good, but because he was good. It wasn't that we loved God, but God loved us. And God invited us into fellowship with him. Amen. He sought us out. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So we don't examine ourselves by ourselves. But if you want to examine yourself correctly, you need to look at the standard. And that is Jesus, amen, the perfect one. And I want my life to be like him. I want to reflect his image, amen. And you know, the more you spend time with somebody, the more you actually start to become like that person. Did you know that? You've been married a long time. You've heard it said before. You start to look like one another. And people say, you know, you guys are starting to look alike, you know. But if you've been hanging out, even with friends, you can kind of know each other after a while, or husband and wife, right? You've been together and you kind of know each other, you know habits, you know thoughts, you know what to do, what not to do, or you should after a while, right? Now, if I say that, this is going to be what's going to happen. So I better say this instead. So what I'm saying is that you can't present a God that you don't really know. You know, we talk about witnessing, for example. How many know we're all called to be a witness for Jesus? Amen? We're supposed to tell people about Jesus. Amen? But you really can't tell people about Jesus because you went to an evangelism seminar. Okay? It requires more than just a seminar. Amen? It requires a relationship with Jesus in order for us to know him so that we can present him. Amen? And not just some concept of him that we learned about. There's a difference, isn't there, between knowing about him and being able to talk about him and actually having a relationship where you can say, this is what the Lord is like because we're acquainted. And the more I spend time, the more we spend time with the Lord, the more that we begin to reflect his image. We become like him. We're transformed from what? Glory to glory, from faith to faith. So we need, like the song says, turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face. Remember, it's all about you and I together with him in relationship. Amen? You and I being the expression of Jesus here on the earth, his body, his representatives. And so what we want to do is we want to move in the grace of God. And ministry is not something you can learn in a classroom. You can learn principles in a classroom, and it's important to learn the principles. But the principles are to point us to the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? So we read the written word so that we may know the living word. And when you are acquainted, when you have a personal relationship with him, you know who the Lord is. When you hear another voice speaking, you can say, wait a minute, that's not the Jesus that I know. Amen? That's a counterfeit. You've heard it said before, but you don't study a counterfeit bill, amen, to learn what the authentic looks like. You study the authentic, amen. When you know what's authentic, then when a counterfeit comes along, you can pick it out. So it is, we want to look to Jesus, learn of him, and become like him as we spend time with him in fellowship, as we worship him in spirit. Spirit to spirit. Amen. Deep crying out to deep. Drawing near to God. And, you know, we see a type in nature as well. You know, the moon doesn't have any light of its own, but the moon reflects the sun, doesn't it? So the fuller the moon, the fuller the gaze. Amen. So you can't see the sun at night, but you do see the moon, which reflects the glory of the sun on the dark earth. So you and I are to reflect the glory of the Son as we face him. And the more that we look fully into Christ and we pursue him and seek him, seek his presence, the greater the expression of Christ, the greater the fullness of his light in the darkness. You see that? So you can't just learn God in a classroom. He must be revealed by his Spirit. Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10, he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He was very careful, amen, to keep that in mind, that it wasn't I that was actually doing the work. If you and I try to present ourselves to people, well, they'll get us. But you and I are not able to impart anything of eternal value, amen, just in our person. So the excellency of the power, the substance, the focus, the center of it all is Jesus Christ. It's all about him and being a vessel that God works through. Expresses himself through. And I can't express him if I'm not connected to him. So he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He was a great apostle, man. Probably one of the greatest. We marvel at Paul's life example, his sufferings, everything that he went through, and how he endured to the end. Amen? He had kept the faith. He fought the good fight. And he entered into his eternal reward. But he was very careful to say that even though I had labored abundantly, I wasn't laboring in my own strength, but it was by the grace of God, amen, I labored. So understand that having a zeal for God that is God-centered and that is motivated by God is a good thing. Amen. We should be diligent servants of the Lord. Amen. We should be giving God our best. Amen. But understand this, that I can't just go out there and spend myself doing good things for God and expect, amen, to have results. What I need to do is know God and reveal God. You can't talk about somebody you really don't know, except you can talk about him in theory. And who was it this morning? During Sunday school, Wayne was talking about a preacher. He was 75 years old, right? When he finally came to Christ, when he was born again, and he'd been preaching for years, but didn't know the Lord, really. You understand, you can study. People go to seminary and they learn about God, you know, so they can tell people about God. But the real question is do you know God? You can't talk about somebody authentically or adequately if you don't really know them. Sometimes you ever heard somebody say, yeah, have you met so-and-so? Or do you know so-and-so? And you might have just met him 5 minutes before that. You say, yeah, oh yeah, I know so-and-so. Well, no, you don't. You might say, oh, I just met them and I'm looking forward to getting to know them. How many know that when it comes to the Lord, we're just getting to know him? Amen. Oh, yeah, I know. Well, I'm getting to know God. It seems like the more that I grow in him and learn of him, the less I realize, or the more I realize how little I do know. And isn't that how it is, Ed? As you get older, you've been walking the Lord many years, you just realize that, well, it humbles you. When you really get to a glimpse of how great God actually is. Because sometimes, you know, we think we got this God of our own imagination. And, oh, yeah, I know Jesus. This is Jesus. And you talk to people on the street and they'll tell you, oh, yeah, I know. Oh, Jesus. Well, tell me about Jesus. And you hear about their Jesus. You're like, nah, I don't think you know Jesus, you know. And maybe you just need to understand that you're seeking, maybe, and you're wanting to know Jesus. And to those who seek, they will find. Now, Paul was a man that was energized by God. Amen. And he lived his life in a way that we could really look at and reflect on and say, you know what? That's a good way to live your life, because he really exampled Christ in his walk. Now, faith has two directions. It's two different kinds of faith. Are you ready for this? It's something I preached on before, but I really think it's important for us to understand how this works. Because there's the faith in God, which is a saving faith, amen, as we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, amen. And then there's the faith of God. So one is towards God, the other was God towards us. So where there is my faith, my confidence, my trust in him, and then God's response is an impartation of his faith that is a fruit of God himself. One of the fruits of the Spirit is faith. It's the same word used in Hebrews 11, amen, where it says 11:6, where it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So in Galatians 5, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. One of them mentioned there is pistis, right, which is that kind of faith that, amen, is a gift of God. So what we need is to first trust in him, amen. If we hear the invitation that God is inviting us into fellowship, and we take advantage of that, and we come by confidence and faith in the blood of Jesus before the Father's throne, then we can receive of his grace. And in that grace is an impartation of faith. So again, we can't evaluate ourselves based upon our own faithfulness, but we need to be an expression of his faith working out of us. Is this making sense? There's faith in God, and from the faith in God, then comes the faith of God towards us and through us as an impartation of his grace. So when we pray and we worship God, we're exercising faith in God. Would you agree? And that faith is directed upwards towards God in heaven. So we worship the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We worship him in spirit. Amen. and in truth. And then what happens is God then begins to lavish his grace upon the worshiper. And all of a sudden, their confidence level begins to build. It begins to grow. It begins to become more, you become more confident in him. Faith is a confident assurance that God will do what he said he would do. Amen. So that's why it's important that we take some time in his presence. Amen. And receive the impartation of grace. And in that grace comes the faith of God. Amen. That gives you the ability to confidently speak to the mountain. This is the mountain moving faith. This is the faith that will produce miracles. Amen. Because it's God who works through us. But this faith of God is not of us, it's of him. Are you understanding? So it begins with you and I putting our faith and trust in Jesus, coming to him in faith, trusting that when I ask for the Holy Spirit, that I will receive the Holy Spirit. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? He says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? God wants to give his children everything they have need of, amen, that so they can be an expression of him in this world. So we need the faith of God. The faith of God is for that which has been placed under our authority. It's to speak to that which has been placed under authority. So, in other words, when we receive the faith of God, it's a confidence that rises up in us. It's a boldness, amen, that we receive by the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to speak boldly to sickness and disease, amen, to speak boldly to demons, amen, and command them. That's not the faith in God. That's faith of God. That's an impartation of God's ability working through an individual who's in harmony with the Spirit. When we're under the authority of God, then we have legitimate authority, amen, to cast demons out, amen, and to pray for the sick and to heal the sick. So that's the faith of God. But it begins with the faith in God, you and I coming to him, amen. So we can do the works of Jesus, because that's what Jesus did. He operated in the faith of his Father. Even Jesus himself, he says, I only do what I see my Father do. I only speak what I hear my Father speak. Amen. So he was operating in the faith of his Father. See, this is where it goes from me just believing in God I believe that he is and that he's a rewarder. Amen. And if you have a confident assurance and a belief that he is a rewarder, then you're in position to receive actually from God. Think about it. You receive mercy from God. You receive forgiveness from God. When you come to God and you confess your sins, your faith in God is saying, God, I believe that just like you said, if I confess, that you'll forgive me and cleanse me. Amen? And my faith in God then, what it does is it releases the grace of forgiveness in my life. When I have confidence in God, then I honor God by believing him, and God imparts, amen, his grace to my life. But if I don't believe when I ask, then you don't receive. That's how it doesn't work that way, does it? When you come, James said, when you come to God, you must believe he is, right? Or Hebrews says it. But James said, too, don't ask God, you know, with any doubt in your heart. Believe that you're going to receive. Jesus said it. When you pray, he said, believe in your heart that you receive it, and you shall have it. So our confidence is in not what I can do for myself or how spiritual or how faithful I am. Because the bottom line here is, guys, that we don't have anything to offer except what God has already given us. So there's no boasting. You know, because the devil likes to get us puffed up, doesn't he? He likes to get us proud. He wants us to think it's because we're just so something. Where I got to realize that, you know what? I was lost in sin till Jesus took me in. Amen. I was once in darkness, but God translated me out. He brought me into light. It was by his mercy that we've been saved. John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, what? He will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. God wants his church to continue on the work that Jesus began. Amen. And when Jesus ascended on high, amen, he gave gifts unto men. The Bible says that Jesus, when he went away, amen, he promised the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He said, not many days from hence, right? It was 50 days from the cross, is that right? And the day of Pentecost was fully come. God poured out his Spirit and empowered his church. The grace of God came upon church, the church. And with the grace came the confident assurance, the faith of God, amen, where they began to move in the miracles also, just like Jesus. What were the miracles for? So we can make a name for ourselves? No, the miracles are to point to Jesus. Amen. The miracles are to bear witness to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive, that he's risen from the dead, that our God, amen, is the true and living God, that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. And I can do all things through Christ. It's understand this, is I got to be in harmony with the Spirit of God. I need to be pursuing him, seeking him, and receiving instruction from him. Amen. Not just going about doing what I think is a good idea, but I need to be hearing from God. We want to be led, don't we, of the Spirit. I know we're a church here that wants to be led of the Spirit. We don't want to just get into some pattern or some form of doing things. Amen. That's so predictable that I already know what's going to happen next. I know that God doesn't do things the way we would often. But that's okay, because people need to realize that God is, you know, greater than we are. He's even smarter than we are. So we got to quit being wise in our own understanding, amen? And we need to start trusting his word, even if I don't feel like it. Sometimes we made decisions because I didn't feel like it. I knew it was right deep in my heart, but I just didn't feel like it. And it never works to disobey the Spirit of the Lord. It's by faith in God that we are indwelt by Christ. And because of the indwelling Christ in us, we have this authority over demons, over disease even. Look at David here in 2 Samuel 22. I'm going to read 1 through 7. 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 7. It'll be up on the screen there. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And if you'd followed the life of David, he was under constant surveillance and pursuit of a king that wanted him dead. And it was a very difficult time in his life, very trying time. But it was a time that actually drew him closer to the Lord. He had to depend upon the grace of God to get through that, amen, and to overcome his enemies. And then he said in verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Here's the word of his confession. Amen. He's confessing with his mouth what he what? Believed in his heart. He's coming into agreement with truth, and truth sets free. The God of my strength, in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, or the power or strength of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. What is he doing? He's encouraging himself in the Lord. He's reminding himself of the truth. We need to do that sometimes. We just need to get the word, amen, get the word open and start remembering and reminding and rehashing some things and getting back, amen, get recalibrated again to truth. How many know that if we don't stay in the word, we can get dull? And so here he says, the Lord, in verse 4, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from my enemies. And when the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and he heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. So it was in this distress and this helplessness that David was crying out to God for help, for rescue, for refuge even. Amen. How many know I'm talking about? There's times in our lives where we feel overwhelmed with everything going on. You know? And man, we just need to get a place of refuge. So some people think, well, I'll go take a vacation. And guess what? The same problems are just tagging along with you on that vacation. Amen. And you got to come back to work to recover from your vacation sometimes. You know? Or some people will just get stoned or get drunk and say, well, I'm just going to forget about life. And guess what? When you come down off the high, it's still there saying, here I am. Now what are you going to do, right? Well, I'll do it again and again, and I'll just try it until what? The devil takes you out? Is it worth it? Does it really help? No, of course not. The only refuge, the only place of security, the only place of real peace is in Jesus Christ. Amen? He is our peace. He is a refuge. Oh, thank God for that. Thank God that I can come to Him, amen, and find rest for my soul in Him. I don't have to go to, amen, and take drugs for anxiety. I just go to Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't go to your doctor and say, oh, the pastor told me to stop taking these drugs. I'm saying you run everything by his desk, amen, and you listen and obey the voice of God. But I'm here to tell you that if it wasn't for the grace of God in my life, if it wasn't for the comfort of his love, if it wasn't for the peace of God in my life, you know what? I'd be a complete mess. Well, I probably still am, but I'd be a complete basket case, if you will, you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God. I can run to my Father. I can run to Him for refuge. So my faith in God, this is what David was doing. He was putting his faith, his trust in the Lord, amen, for his rescue, for his deliverance, and for his victory over his enemies, amen. Now, I want you to notice something here, because now we see things shifting, okay, in 2 Samuel chapter 22. Look at verse 33. David shifts from faith in God to faith of God. In verse 33, he begins to say, God is my strength and my power. He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Don't say that 10 times fast. In verse 36, you have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. He was acknowledging, he was testifying that it was God who kept him. Amen? God had brought him through that difficult season of his life. But then look at verse 38. Now we see him in confidence, amen, turning, amen, this thing around. This is what happened. He says, I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. What's happening? He was putting faith and confidence in God, and then that grace of faith, that gift of faith was coming upon him. And now he's saying, I pursued my enemies. I took authority, amen, in Jesus' name, over my adversaries. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. In other words, I didn't compromise with my enemy. Amen. I got to get sin completely out. I got to get the devil completely out of my life, out of my hair, out of my family. Amen. I'm not going to tolerate it. And I have destroyed them, he said, and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. And you have armed me with strength for the battle. Now he's acknowledging he understood the source of his strength was the Lord. Amen. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them down like dirt in the streets, and I spread them out. Wow. Here's a man that has confidence now in his God. The first thing he did is he began to reflect upon the Lord's nature, his character, his faithfulness. Amen. He began to call out to the Lord for help, for rescue. Amen. And then God began to impart to David, amen, the ability for him to rise up in his name and destroy his enemies. Amen. That's what happened when David defeated Goliath. Amen. He rose up in the confidence. Amen. That the word of the Lord was on his side. The Lord was going to back him up. Amen. And he was not going to allow the enemies of Israel, amen, to punk them out. He rose up. He had confidence in God, faith of God. And the faith of God made him bold as a lion. Amen. And he tore into that enemy, took his head off. Do you understand? We need God's grace. so that we can overcome. We need to be filled with the power of God so we have a confident assurance that comes from God Himself, so that then we can do, amen, the things that Jesus did. Somewhere. We're all somewhere on this journey, aren't we? But I'm telling you, the more time we take to spend in His presence and crying out to God and reminding God of His faithful promises, God honors faith. God honors a confident individual. Amen? When a person says, Lord, I believe You. I believe You're with me. I believe You're for me. I believe You're not against me. I believe that You're greater in me than he that's in the world. I believe I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I believe no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I believe nothing shall separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Amen? I believe the Lord is a shield. Amen? He's my rock. He's my sword. He's my shield. He's my deliverer. He's all those things as we confess who He is and come into agreement with who He is. What happens is God imparts to us faith of Him. Amen? And that's when we go from handsaw to power saw. Amen? Where we're working it out, trying to make it happen, to where things are just like happening. Amen? God is just opening doors. People are being touched and blessed. Amen? Because the Lord is doing the work. And I don't have to depend upon man for that. I just listen to God. Amen? I don't have to wait for man to say, okay, you can go now. God says, go, I go. So he begins to cry out to the Lord first, and then he shifts over to the faith of God. Full of confidence. How many know the church needs to understand that we need to do the same thing today? We need to exercise faith in God and then the faith of God. But if you don't first put your faith in God and your trust in God, amen? And if you're not a worshiper of God, amen? If you're not a worshiper of God in spirit, if you're not in communication with Him, amen? If you're not a prayer person, if you're not a worship person, if you're not a person that loves to sing praises to God, amen, then you can't expect to have the strength, amen, that comes from God. Because God will be where there's praise unto Him. How many know in heaven there is continuous praise, amen? In the glory of God, amen, there's continuous praise, hallelujah. And so when you and I begin to praise God, what we're doing is we're entering into that place, amen, in the heavenlies, in the spirit. Hallelujah, where there's confident assurance, where there's joy and there's peace and there's goodness and faithfulness and love and all the good qualities of God are expressed in us because He inhabits the praises of His people in Israel. Amen? So my flesh sometimes doesn't feel like it because I'm beat down, I've had a rough day, things are not going my way, but I have to tell my flesh what to do, amen, and not allow my flesh to steal from me, amen? And that outer man has to die. So the inner man, amen, can come out. You heard it said before, but if we're full of ourselves, we can't be full of Jesus. If I make it about me, then I can't make it about Him. Amen? And if I'm just giving people me, well, I can give you an attaboy, a slap on the back, you know. Get out there and try harder. Or I can present to you Jesus, amen, and say He's the answer. We preach Christ. We preach Jesus, don't we? We present Him and not ourselves. And then God said, if you honor me, I'll honor you. So God will honor us, won't He? He'll even honor us in the presence of people if we live for His honor. That's how it works. God will give you an audience. God will give you a ministry. God will give you open doors if you just live for His honor. Amen? May not be a, you know, 10,000 people, you know, auditorium, or it may be your neighbor that God wants you to go to and speak to. Amen. But just being available and being yielded, God wants to use us. The Lord said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. So the Lord wants some laborers. Amen. In this. But we can't be a laborer. And we can't present a God that we don't know. So we've got to know Him personally, intimately, through fellowship with Him, through our prayer, amen, and through our communion and through our gatherings together. We're getting an expression of God through each other. We're coming to know him in fullness. Amen. As the body expresses him in fullness. It's not enough for just what I have to offer. It's all of us working together to build one another in the Lord. Amen. So you all have something to offer. We all have a portion. Amen. God gives us a measure of faith. So let's use it. Let's put it to work. Amen. Faith in God and faith of God. So if we have faith in God and his word, we'll be given the faith of God to accomplish the task at hand. I can remember I was anxious years ago because I had the fire of God in me. I had the call. I had that desire. But I was anxious for something to open up for me. And it was very difficult for me to wait on God's timing. And so I would try to go out and make things happen and start this and start that. And a lot of that stuff fizzled out. But it's been a process, sometimes of elimination. What God's actually eliminating is my own ambition. Amen? So that I get to the place I say, okay, God, I've strived. I've worked hard. I've tried. I just want to hear from you and do what you say now. I'm okay with that. Whatever. You want me to run the broom? I'll run the broom. It's good. I just want to love you back. I want to serve. Are you hearing me, somebody? And so we've got to die to what we think is the model, you know, for us and what we think would be best for us, because God only knows what's best for us. We just need to get into rest. I mean, you know, God wants you just to enjoy him, to enjoy his fellowship, his presence, to walk with him. Amen. He doesn't want us to get into work for him mode. I got to work for God today. No, you get to walk with God today. And as you walk with God today, God will release the grace through your life, amen, to do work with him. We don't go out here doing it on our own. We do it with Jesus together. Amen. It's a cooperation. Yes, we partner with him. Amen. But you don't have to stress out over what you think you should be doing, because sometimes God does give us a big vision. Amen. And he shows us something, but then we're waiting on God to work things and put things in order in our lives. Amen. While he's setting things up around us with people and events and situations. And then also God is also working in us because he wants us to come into his rest. Amen. So I'm not stressing out about, well, I'm not doing anything. I need to be doing more. And how many have been there? I'm not doing nothing. I need to be doing more. Well, just relax. Get into his presence. Amen. And it's amazing. God will begin to open doors for you, and we call them divine appointments. All right. All of a sudden, you find yourself connecting with somebody that you hadn't planned it. You hadn't anticipated it. But God's opened a door for you to be a vessel. So we get to do this. I mean, we get to join and partner with the Lord. Remember, the Lord said, let there be light. Let there be planets. Let there be, you know, fish. Let there be creeping things on the earth. Any creeping things on the earth, right? When God said it, he didn't say it with any doubt or reservation. There's no fear of failure when God spoke it. He wasn't going to be embarrassed because it wasn't going to happen. Why? Because he's God. And whatever God says is. Are you hearing me, somebody? So what we need to do is we need to get into harmony, into peace, into fellowship with him. We need to have a relationship with him so that we know his voice. And when God speaks something, it's always yes and amen. When God promises something, it's always yes and amen. Amen. It's not a maybe, and I hope so. And I'm not going to step out here now and be embarrassed because nothing's going to happen. Hey, leave that up to God. Leave the results up to God. If you feel like God is pressing you to do something for him, even to cause you to step outside of your comfort zone, do it. Amen? Because that's where he's going to meet you, right there, in the place of obedience. Didn't he say, where I am, there my servant will be also? Amen? I've used this many times, but you remember Peter and the rest of the gang, right, in the boat? Where was Jesus at? He wasn't in the boat. He was out on the water. Well, thank God Peter was the one that says, if Jesus is on the water, I'm getting out of this boat. I'm going to go meet him. Amen. And Jesus said, where I am, there my servant will be also. And wherever when we're walking with God, there will be fruit. There will be results. There will be eternal fruit. Amen. So when we're in the faith of God, we're in the confidence of God that comes from Him, we can speak the word with assurance. When we speak this word in the faith of God, we speak this with absolute assurance, with confidence, with a knowing that this word today is not going to return void. Amen. If I'm in harmony with the Spirit of God and I'm speaking as the Lord is speaking, it's going to impart life. Amen. Not like the preacher, amen, who'd been preaching for how many years? 50 years. He was 75 or whatever when he finally got saved. Amen. If you're not preaching by the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes God will even use somebody like that that didn't really know him personally, but God still used his word. You know what I'm saying? We've had preachers on their deathbed deny Christ. It happens. Because they never really knew him, but they'd been preaching the word, and the word was still getting out, and the Holy Spirit can work. Remember, it's not of us. We're simply the vessels. But we get to do this. We get to be a partner with him. I want to give you one more. Okay, you all right? Raising of Lazarus. Jesus, John 11:38. Again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the city of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days now." Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Now, the first thing that God wants us to do is what? Believe. Faith in him. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." What is he doing? Faith in God. "Father, I am confident that you hear me." And he didn't stay there, did he? "And I know that you," what? "Always hear me." How many of us pray that way? "Father, I thank you that you hear me and that you always hear me. I know you do. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this." What is he doing? He was trying to help the others to believe. Okay? To build their faith. That's right. "That they may believe that you sent me." Now, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And you know what happened, right? Lazarus came forth. He raised him from the dead. So first he confirms his faith in the Father. This is the faith in God. And then he commands Lazarus to come forth. You see it? Jesus first prays to the Father. Then he speaks with authority. "Lazarus, come forth." Amen? He commanded him to come forth. What was going on? Faith in the Father, and then the faith of the Father working. It's very important. How many would agree with me that it's not enough just to have faith in God? God doesn't want us just to end there. God wants us to receive impartation of his grace so then we can be an expression of him. Amen, as well. Not only do we get the benefit and the blessing, amen, from God, but it's not just for us. It's for somebody else. It's more blessed to give, isn't it, than to receive. And back to Paul, he says, it's not I, but what? The grace of God which was with me. He was very careful to give glory to God, amen, for the effectiveness of his ministry. So, I've been talking many times this way through the last couple of weeks about authority. We need to be under the Word of God. The Word of God, amen, is his authority. And then when God says something, he keeps his own word. He submits himself to his own word. Therefore, when we're under the word of God, we're under the authority of God. When we're under the authority of God, we have the authority of God, all right, to command demons, sickness, disease, in the confidence that God gives us. So when you receive a gift of faith, how many know what I'm talking about? When that gift of faith has come upon you, there's a confident assurance and you know in your knower that God's going to do something right now. Hallelujah. And every time I've had that gift of faith come, amen, I've known that that person is going to receive something from God, an impartation. And often healings have come just like that. It's not of me, it's of him, but God wants a vessel. and someone that will believe him. Amen. Now, our faith is not enough just to say, well, I believe that's true. Good message. God says, well, what are you going to do with it? It's time to start stepping out in that which you learn. Amen. Come to God, pray, ask, and then step out. There's times when I don't feel like doing something that I've committed to, but I know it's God's will for me. So I just say, Lord, grant me the grace, grant me the ability, grant me the strength I need to represent you correctly, to be a vessel, amen, that you work through. And Lord, I just pray, like we sing that song, out of my life, may Jesus shine. And Lord, I just want you to shine through my life today. So make me a vessel, amen, of honor, a vessel for your use. And so we depend on God. We call on him. And then the next thing we do is we step out. And then God meets us in that place of obedience. And now the thing that I was kind of dreading and maybe not really feeling like it in my flesh, my outer man is saying, I don't really want to do that. I'd rather sleep in this morning. The Spirit is saying, I want you to get up. I've got an assignment for you. And then you, after you obey the Lord, you say, man, am I glad I listened to that voice and not that other voice. Amen. And I found that good feelings follow faith. It's not always the other way around. Some days you go to work, you're like, I got to go to work today. I don't know, maybe you like it. But there's those days when we just like, but we say, I'm going to do it because it's my responsibility. Amen? Likewise, we have a responsibility as God's people to him. We need to be responsible for the gifts that he's given us, the talents he's given us, the abilities he's given us. We need to be responsible. Amen? And as responsible people, it means that we do what the Father tells us to do, regardless of how I may feel about it, but because it's the right thing to do. And then when I do what's right, I find that the good feeling follows that. All of a sudden, there's an impartation of joy. There's an impartation of peace. Whereas something I was not looking forward to doing, I might have even been a little intimidated about the assignment, but I stepped out in it. Believe me, I've been in a few, maybe you have too, a little kind of intimidating situations, you know. But you stepped out, and then it's like the Lord was there, and the mantle's there. And the confident assurance, the faith of God comes upon you. And a boldness rises up within you. And all of a sudden you find yourself speaking things that you never thought of. You couldn't have done that work, amen, but it was God working through you. That's how it works. It's not just by going to a seminar, getting some information, and then passing it on. It's about getting the information about God so that I may know God, so that I may have a relationship with God, and through that relationship of God, there will be an impartation of the faith of God in my life for the work of the ministry that we're all called to, by the way. Not everybody's called to be a pastor, but every one of us here is called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. Let your light shine. Let people know, amen, about your God. Hallelujah. And you do that not in your own strength, but in the faith of God, the ability that God supplies you. Amen. So that you can have a confidence that is supernatural to step out. And believe me, I've shared many times about this, but I was a person who didn't like being in front of people. Isn't that interesting that God will say, that's exactly who I need right there. Somebody doesn't like being in front of people. And we'll put you in front of people. Because then you're like, God help. And the grace of God helps. And then people get Jesus and not me, see? I'm one of the shyest people you'll ever meet, right? Not no more. We're coming out, and we're coming out of our shell. Come on, in a good way. The world is coming out, amen? We need to come out for Jesus. Let your light so shine before men. Well, how do I do that? By the ability he supplies, by the faith that he gives me. The confident assurance that what I say and what I do is going to be backed up because God gave me his word and God doesn't lie. If God gives me an instruction and I obey it, it will produce fruit. If God gives me a word like he's given me this word this morning to to speak to you. This word will not return void. How many here are receiving something from the Lord? Amen. God is stirring up within your heart an eagerness and a desire and a confidence as you're getting that. You're saying, yeah, that's where it's at. Time with God, intimacy, pressing into God. Amen. Being a worshiper. I don't care. Put on your, like Larry Mitch, what's it, Larry Seymour said, put your ugly praise on. Amen. Don't worry about what people think around you. Get a hold of God. Hallelujah. And let God saturate you. Amen. With his presence. And you'll be in a place where you're like, okay, I don't care if you don't like the way I worship God. I'm not doing it for you. I'm worshiping him. Amen. And I'm hoping I'll be an example for you as well. That's what David did when he danced before the Lord. He didn't care what people thought. He got over himself. Amen. How many know we got to get over ourselves? Well, the opinions of people. Well, everybody's looking at me. Well, get over yourself. You know, it's like if you heard said, you know, people, I remember I used to like to get drunk, you know, in the world. And a lot of times it's because I was a shy person. But when I was a drunk, I was Mr. Expression, you know, or Mr. What do you call it? Animated, you know, Mr. Knucklehead. But, you know, I would get drunk because it would give me a false sense of confidence. Well, God delivered me, praise God, from the inferior stuff. And now I come to God, amen. And his love intoxicates me and gives me an ability and a confidence and a strength that I can, amen, I can step out for him and not have a self-consciousness that is crippling me and preventing me, amen, from being that witness. If I'm fearful, it means I need more God, amen. I need more Jesus, I need more Holy Spirit. If I'm intimidated, if I'm insecure, it means I need more of him in me. And he'll take you outside of yourself. Amen. What'll happen is that inner man will overshadow the outer man. And now people are getting the inner man in Christ Jesus, in your spirit with his spirit, and a reflection of Jesus. They're seeing Jesus now. They're hearing from the Lord. Is this making sense? You know, we don't have to sit and eat chicken nuggets, amen, at his table. We come in and we do the prime rib, man. Get the good stuff, man. Fill yourself up, man, so you can endure, amen. And when you are strong in him, you will realize that you don't have confidence in you like you used to. But you have a supernatural confidence that God gives you. And an ability that's not of you, but of him, so that now you can be his expression. Amen. And people may give you compliments, but you can say, well, I'd like to receive that as being of me, but it's really not. It's really of him. It's the Lord working. Amen. Oh, we can wax eloquent, you know. But what we want is Jesus, amen, to be revealed through our lives. So that inner man, amen, as we worship in spirit and truth, as we spend time in his presence, it begins to get stronger and it overshadows the outer man. And now people are getting Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And you don't even have to say much. When you're really in the spirit, people get around you. They're like, man, what's up with you, man? I've heard people say that. We had some people leave a meeting here one night. So one guy, he said, he went to the convenience store, man, and he was just beaming for Jesus. He's all lit up, you know, and just really been saturated good. And they're kind of, he said, the clerk kept looking at him like, what's up with you, man? What you been smoking or whatever, you know? He said, no, it's nothing like that. It's so much better. But that's what people need to see. He said, let your light so shine before men. Let it be Jesus, that inner light, amen, expressing and overriding, overshadowing the outer man. And the faith and confidence that comes from God is that ability to move mountains. And I know we're in a good company this morning, that every one of us here wants to be a servant and wants to be, you know, used of God. And you want to be in a place where God will use you. So God saves us just like he did David from his enemies. I'm finished. Later he anointed him to be king. So the first thing was the battle. Amen. But the battle was made. He was able to defeat his enemies because God gave him the ability to defeat his enemies. David didn't just trust in his own, you know, weaponry or his own armor or his own skill. David called on the Lord, amen, and the Lord enabled him to defeat all of his enemies. And God gave him peace round about. That's what Jesus did for us. He defeated that devil for us on the cross. He broke the power of sin, amen. And then he gives his grace to his people, amen, so that we can then go in his name and do likewise, set the captives free. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name, amen. They shall, in my name, they shall cast out demons. Hallelujah. He said what? They'll speak with new tongues. All right. So speaking in tongues is of God. Amen. It can't. Amen. If we're in the Holy Spirit, it's going to be of him. He said also, you're going to take up serpents and scorpions. Amen. And you'll drink something deadly and it's not going to hurt you. So some people have taken that literally and they've gone out and they're pulling snakes out in their services, you know. You've seen that? There's stuff on YouTube, man. I was watching it. This guy is like, they're having rattlesnakes in their meetings, you know. Well, says you'll take up serpents. They're from the way out in the Ozark somewhere, I guess. I don't know why I looked at Paula when I said that, but you probably know about those. I don't know. But I'm like, that's craziness. Now, what is he saying? Well, remember Moses, amen? God says, cast your rod down, amen? And it turned to a serpent. And so the magicians came, they cast theirs down too. And what happened is they turned to serpents. And what? Moses' serpent devoured, amen, the enemy's serpents. He's saying, I'm going to give you authority. I'm going to give you my power, amen, to deal with your enemy. Behold, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, amen? And you shall be my witnesses, amen. He said, he'll give us power over all the works of the devil, amen, of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But we need the confidence that comes from God in order to overcome the outer man or our flesh, amen. That's either conceited, proud, narcissistic, you know, or fearful and insecure. But we need the power of God, amen, to override. And then people will see Jesus. So God saves us from sin and darkness. And then he anoints us to serve him in destroying the works of the devil. And advancing his kingdom in the earth. So how many here are going to be like that dog that's gotten out of the kennel? Got to get on mission. Seek the Lord. Press in. Amen. Don't have a drive-through prayer. All right? Don't do a drive-through. I mean, get into his presence. Seek the Lord's face. Amen. Call upon the name of Jesus. Amen. And inquire of him so that you may know who you are in him and who he is in you. So that you might receive an instruction from him. And when the Lord gives you an instruction, amen, he will also give you the grace to do that instruction. And once you, by faith of God, step out, you will see, amen, the manifestation of God in your world. And you will be salt and you'll be light. You'll be influencers in this dark world by the ability that God supplies. Amen. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Make me a blessing, Lord. Make me a blessing. Would you just ask the Lord, Lord, make me a blessing. That out of my life, Jesus would shine. Lord, make me a blessing to someone today. In Jesus' name. Amen.